Hello, and thank you for joining us for a few moments of inspiration and loving conversation with C. Melita Webb. Today, I was looking at life, and it's such a blessing to wake up with breath, with joy, and with love in your heart. And I was thinking about what I wanted to share with you, because I know that some of you count on this as daily inspiration. And so often I feel bad when I'm not able to give you a piece of my heart for the day. Sometimes I tape the actual podcast, and then I can't see to find where I put it at. So I think going forth, I'm just going to tape them that same day, release them no matter what time it is, so that at least you have something from me, because I'm always thinking of you, even if I'm not physically able to breathe well enough to send you verbal inspiration. I was looking at some of the headlines and thinking about some of the choices people are making. And I looked at this and I was thinking that some people are getting caught up because they're not thinking before they act. Others are getting caught up because they are scared. Some are displaced, homeless, poor, and just struggling to make it through each moment in life. And so I'm listening to this new book, and it's about a famous writer. I'll forget the name of it. But he shared an occasion where he was in that same situation. And he actually had pulled out a weapon that he was going to use to hurt a shop owner. And the interesting thing to me was he specifically stated that. And so while he was down and out, didn't have much, he was alone and homeless, he still had his training, his home training, and the love of his family. But I don't think in that moment he recognized that, because he said what happened next was he looked up as he got ready to potentially use this weapon, and the shop owner was standing there, and he had the face of his grandfather. And so this man says, "Son, are you hungry?" And the man froze. And he didn't hurt this gentleman, but he also couldn't tell him, "Yes, I'm starving. I just need a few bucks to eat." So he kind of played it off. The writer said he played it off and just said, "No, sir, I was just going to ask you if you perhaps needed a knife, if you wanted to buy one." He said, "No, I don't have any need for one." He said, "Okay, thank you," and he walked away. And so it was just a slight instant that kept him from being a murderer. But I think in his mind, he was so hungry, famished, and starving that he didn't see past the tunnel vision of his need. And had not he visualized this older gentleman as his grandfather, he would have hurt him. And so when I thought about that, you know, my first thought is, I've never been that hungry. I've never been that poor. And I've never felt that alone. But even if I had been hungry, poor, or alone to that extent, I still don't think I would have thought of violence as the first response. I would have stepped back and said, "Sir, I'm out here looking for a job. No one is hiring me. I'm new to town. I have nobody here. Is there something I can do? Can I sweep? Can I take out the garbage? I just need a couple of dollars so I can get something to eat. Now, back when he wrote this piece, it was back in the 60s, so a couple of dollars would have definitely given him enough to eat. While I'm thankful that he envisioned this man and saw him as his grandfather, I'm concerned because at some point in his intelligent mind, he thought that his only option was violence. And so the name of this book is A Hungry Heart. It's a memoir by Gordon Parks. He was a famous photographer, made some of the most endearing pictures of Jim Crow era. And I'll look up his time frame because I don't know his birth and death dates. But phenomenal, creative individual who felt like he had no choice. That's deep for me. And what's even deeper is that this is what a lot of people are faced with each day. But they're not seeing their grandfather, their grandmother, their mother, or their sister in the people they're hurting. All they're seeing is their need, their anger, and their frustration. And so, you know, it's hard to reparent teenagers and adults. And so that's why it's critical that we do our best when our children are young to infuse in them that there is always opportunity for hope. And so, you know, now we're dealing with teenagers who are displaying behaviors, threatening people's lives, and doing, carjackings, drive-bys, robberies, and murder. I believe these children no longer have hope in their mind. They have no longer have hope in their heart, and they are lost. They are lost for some reason, whether they didn't have parents at home, whether they were put out, because you'd be surprised at the number of children who are put out. And usually it's because the child is so angry, they are not willing to communicate, they are destroying their home environment, and their parents have had enough, right? And sometimes it's because their parents are on some substances, they got their own problems, maybe they lose their job, maybe they sent the child to live with someone else that they thought could handle them better, and the child walked away. Whatever the reason is, we have a lot of people who are walking all day and all night, which tells me that they don't have a home. And I can tell you this because my security camera catches these kids, right? It catches sometimes older people too. No one is immune to suffering, challenges, or poverty. People who have been millionaires have also lost everything and lived on the street. So the issue is placing enough networks in the community to catch these individuals before they fall too deep and no longer can see hope. And, you know, I'm not saying whose responsibility that is, because I think it's everyone's responsibility. I think every one of us has the responsibility to do best we can in our communities to help each other. And I saw some great things recently, probably a few months ago, that came out of this current situation where people were saying, hey, I have an extra, you know, some extra gloves here, or I have a few extra bottles of Lysol. People were actually reaching out and offering neighbors that they've never spoken to before resources to stay healthy and alive. And so while people complain about everything you see on social media, I don't think we highlight enough goodness on social media. And I try not to share negative things. Occasionally I will share a link and I'll give some informational background with it because I want you to understand how this could be averted or how we can prevent it from happening again. But I think that our goal should be to post as much positivity on our lines, on our Facebook, Instagram, Clubhouse, what is it, back channel. You guys, I'm so sorry, I don't know all these groups, but Discord. I've been hearing a lot of new names. out here, and you guys probably know much more than I do of where we can make a difference. So I want to ask you to try to come up with 3 positive things each day that you can share on your social media. And that's not a lot. You know, I know that you're not sitting on social media all day, but maybe you post something in the morning and you post something else in the evening or in the afternoon and something else in the evening. And maybe it's a quote. Maybe it's a picture of a nest of birds. Maybe it's something in your neighborhood that they're doing a coat drive, or they're, you know, putting mail cans out for the mail carriers to donate to someone. Because I think we have to keep this going, not just during the holiday season. We need to show love and support all year long. So I'd like to know your thought about my thoughts. And I'm going to end this here and just ask you to look for ways that you can make a difference. I'm going to wish you a beautiful morning, a wonderful afternoon, and a blessed evening of peace. Whatever you are going through, you have to trust that there is a bright light at the end of the journey. We love you. Be well.
We get bombarded with a lot of messages throughout the day. Some good, some frustrating, and some that creep in and wear away at our souls. Sometimes it's hard to just sit with God in the stillness and truly hear what His heart is for us. Having a good devotional to encourage you to draw nearer to the one who loves you most and spend time in His Word can make all the difference in the world. Author and poet C. Melita Webb is passionate about celebrating God's goodness and encouraging you to speak life and love over every person and circumstance. In her 6th poetry volume, Prayers, Peace, and Praise, Guidance for Prayer Through Poetry, she beautifully alternates scriptures with prayers and poems to help you focus your attention on God and listen for direction from His Holy Spirit. I had the honor of recording the audio version of Prayers, Peace, and Praise, and it absolutely touched my heart. Many of the prayers, poems, and essays expressed the things weighing on me at the time and gave me the chance to bring those things to God. Even the scriptures Webb includes were exactly the words of encouragement I needed. If you need life spoken over you today, follow the link in the show notes to pick up your copy of Prayers, Peace, and Praise, Guidance for Prayer Through Poetry, available in print, Kindle, and audiobook formats.